Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is founder and CEO, Glam Girl Bikini Coach, Amy Enger. And today with me, I have my co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, IFBB Bikini Pro and Glam Girl Coach. And today's topic, we are going to talk about that hot buzzword that's been kind of cycling around for a while, keto or the ketogenic diet. And so we're actually going to spice things up a little bit, and I am going to interview Amy and ask her some questions because she actually has utilized this diet or has tried it. So we want to get her experience. And just so you guys know, too, we are both certified through Precision Nutrition. So a lot of our information and a lot of our knowledge comes from that backing, but we do have personal experience, so we do have some knowledge on that, but of course, like, we want to let you know that you always want to communicate with your coach before trying anything, so let's get right to it. So, Amy, could you explain for everyone what the ketogenic diet is?
Yeah, sure. So, basically, the ketogenic diet came about in the 1920s, and it kind of came through as a treatment for pediatric epileptic seizures. So I want to be careful because I just caught myself when I said treatment. I want to be careful about the way that we term things because we need to keep in mind that, you know, it is not within our scope of practice as Precision One nutrition coaches to diagnose something or a medical condition. So always remember that the items and the topics that we talk about, you know, if it's something to do with a medical condition, then that is something that needs to be done under the guidance of a doctor. So common, I guess, populations that can really benefit from a true ketogenic state are people that have epilepsy, cancer, MS, Parkinson's disease. Those people, you know, it can help them for surgical procedures, and then it can improve some medical conditions. It's been shown. So when I decided that I was going to do this little self experiment, you know, there was a lot of hype around. There's recently been a lot of hype around keto and so I wanted to see how my body would respond to it. And I've done that, you know, I've used myself as like a self experiment. So just to clear things up, the actual definition of a ketogenic diet, and a lot of people get mixed up with this, and that's kind of why I wanted to put this podcast out there, because people will reference being fat adapted, or they'll reference being in ketosis, or that they're doing a keto diet. And they're really, most of the time, just doing a high-fat type of meal plan. And so I want to kind of define what being actually keto is. And that actually means that you are at 20 grams of carbs or less. And you have a lot of saturated fats in your diet. Your protein's about 20%. Carbs are at 5%. In your macro ratios, and then you're at least 75% fat. And so when I attempted this, I'm just going to say attempted because it was not a great success by any means. And so when I talk about this from a personal experience, some of the things that I found to be that were cons were, first of all, I was extremely restricted in my vegetables. I am a volumetric person by nature. I do not like small calorie dense meals. I like a lot of volume, and I like feeling full. And so it really limited my fruits and vegetables. I had to have a very small serving once a day of spinach. And otherwise I'd go way over on my carbs, because 20 grams is not a lot for the budget. At least for this foodie with the booty. So yeah, first of all, my fat kit struggled a little bit. Secondly, I don't particularly care for like chicken thighs and things. And I found that it was really easy to go over in my protein. And some people have even found that even just drinking BCAAs kind of kicks them out of ketosis because of the protein in there. And so having 20% protein as a physique athlete, first of all, just it wasn't in line with my goals. I found it hard to really encourage protein synthesis. And I didn't feel the greatest on the diet from a personal experience. And a lot of females also will find that it knocks out their menstrual cycle with the lack of carbs. So typically men can do a little bit better on it because they don't have that barrier to overcome. So I will talk about the benefits. So obviously I had mentioned that it's very medical based type of meal plan, that it's very helpful for those populations. But some other things that it does, you know, it eliminates free radicals, decreases inflammation. A lot of people will feel great satiety on it and better energy. So that's kind of the background of keto. Chris, I'm going to hand it back to you.
Great. Thanks, Amy. So, yeah, the keto experiment that you did on yourself sounds pretty interesting. But we both have gone through different types of meal planning, different like diet tricks, different types of things so that we can get experience to know. And sometimes that's the way that you find out is you try these things to figure out what jives with your body. And you had said also, Amy, that you had tried carb cycling and that had given you some insight into your body and how it operated as well. Could you share with our listeners about that?
Yeah, so I actually, this was kind of how I, well, let me first preface this by the fact that when you're thinking about energy sources and you're thinking about what, you know, type of direction you're wanting to go, I need to point out that you're either going to be a higher carb person or you're going to be a higher fat person. There's really, unfortunately, I know, because my favorite foods are high fat and high carb. So I really wish there was this diet out there that existed that, you know, contained ice cream and pizza and cookies, because all of basically my favorite foods are both high fat and high carb. But unfortunately, we have to pick kind of an energy source when it comes to looking at this. And so you need to do some evaluation. And so a really simple and cost-effective way that I was able to kind of figure out what my body worked the best with was carb cycling. So I went 3 days with, you know, high fat, low carb, and then I did a higher carb day, and I just felt like garbage. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I was bloated, I was sluggish, I was tired, and the 3 days that I was higher fat, I was just like shot out of a cannon with energy. I felt mental clarity. On that high carb day, I just felt a lot of brain fog, a lot of bloating, and I was really lethargic. So that's kind of what started to steer me in the direction of staying higher fat. And that's actually why I kind of played around with the keto thing too. But I realized that I needed more of the precision nutrition's definition of what a low carb diet is, which is the ratios when we're talking macronutrients, is 40% protein, 10% carbs, and then 50% fat. And I've just known that during prep that my body works really well with that. And then, you know, now that I'm kind of in the improvement season, I've kind of, my reverse is more paleo based, which those ratios are still the same in protein, so 40%, but then I get 20% more carbs. So I'm at 30% carbs so that I can utilize my insulin for that anabolic effect and do some muscle building in the off season. And then so in exchange, you know, my fat had to lower for my ratios to work. So yeah, I kind of went on a little ramble there. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, definitely. You did answer it. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because the carb cycling, like Amy is talking about, I utilize that as well. And I actually had the opposite effect. The days that I had a high fat, low carb diet, I felt so exhausted. I also experienced the brain fog, and I also had like blood sugar issues. So, and I wasn't like, it wasn't like no carb, it wasn't anything like crazy or extreme, but I just knew those 3 days where my carbohydrates were at a lower ratio, I felt really awful. So it's very interesting that, like, depending on the person, you know, certain foods affect people differently, and that's why it's, like, good to pay attention to what you're putting in your body and also utilize somebody who has some knowledge that can kind of help you figure it out and progress that process a little bit quicker. Otherwise, you're just doing self-experiments like Amy and I are doing on each other. So, yeah. And then, Amy, you kind of said that when you were, you know, you were figuring out that higher fats worked better with your bodies, with your body and jives with your body. Was there anything else that you did to kind of like, I know you had said you'd mentioned about like food sensitivities with carbohydrates. Can you touch on that?
Yeah. So I actually, and this is not, I will say that, I'm not like sponsored by Alcat or anything like that, or Everly Well, but I really personally utilize, especially Everly Well, quite a bit with my clients too. So, since I live in a bigger city, I was fortunate enough to be able to do a food sensitivity test, locally. And so not everybody has the LCAT availability, where you can just walk into a lab and get your blood work and get tested for food sensitivities. I fortunately was, so I was able to get that panel. I wanted to do some more investigating. I had heard about, food sensitivities. And since I had such a crazy reaction, I felt like it was a good idea. Because some of the things that you should look for, in your own body, if you have symptoms like insomnia, fatigue, joint pain, bloating, brain fog, skin rashes, sharp headaches, things like that. Those are, with me, I found it was, you know, a lot of changes in my digestion. So some people will find like constipation or like diarrhea, not to be gross, but really, like, if things are off and you're not digesting your food well, that's probably a good sign that it'd be, you know, something, just another piece to the puzzle that you would know to go and get a food sensitivity test. So when I did, I discovered that, of course, the reason why I felt so sluggish on those higher carb days is because like rice and oats were really high on my sensitivities. Whereas like almonds and coconut and fats, they were all just fine for me. So what I found to be helpful, in this situation is I've had to kind of look into some, I really like a almond bread that I utilize. And then I actually have waffles that are made from, they're paleo waffles that are primarily made of almonds and coconut. And so those have been really helpful. I do like blueberries. And so just, I've kind of been able to incorporate carbs through fats, if that makes sense. And I know you're, as your coach, I know you're, the opposite. So do you want to kind of share, what you discovered when you did your Everly Well test?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this was absolutely, I'm so grateful for doing this test because that changed everything for me. It was my second prep getting ready for, a local show. And I just, it was like months working and like trying to figure out what was going on with my body. I had extreme fatigue. I had a lot of bloating and digestive upset, like to the point where my stomach hurt so much that I thought that it was normal. Like I was like, oh, it's just my body digesting. Like I got used to that feeling because I had it so much. And I remember, you know, Amy had suggested, why don't you try this test? And I was like, sure, why not? And once I had got my results back, I had high reactivity to a lot of things, and a lot of them were higher fat options, actually. So, like, nuts, peanut butter, almonds, all those types of things were coming up, like, highly reactive in my system. And so, you know, I shared that with Amy, and she immediately changed my meal plan. And it took a little bit for my body to, like, calm down with the inflammation. Like, I remember my waist was the one thing that was, like, just, like, highly inflamed. I was, like, puffy. And those are a lot of signs that I can actually recognize now if I eat something that maybe my body is, like, not jiving with or not really crazy about. I notice those things more easily because I know what it feels like to feel a lot better when you're eating foods that your body, you know, accepts and wants to utilize. And I think a lot of people are, like, on the fence about this and, you know, like, the science behind it, and if it's, you know, like, if you're not having an anaphylactic allergic reaction, then food is fine. But I just know from my personal experience, when I adjusted my diet based on, you know, what came back with my testing, it definitely helped me a lot as well. And that's why, you know, my ratios for my prep are very different than Amy's. So when I am going through, you know, like, a dieting down phase, my ratios are more towards the paleo, where I'm getting 40% protein, 30% carb, and around 30 with fats. So my fats have to be a little bit on the lower end, and because of my hypoglycemia and because of my food sensitivities, my carbs have to be a little bit higher, and my body responds really well to that. And then more in the off season, we've transitioned me to more of the precision nutrition ratios, which is 30% protein, 40% carb, and we keep our fats around, like, the same with the 30% as well. So, yeah, I encourage people, if they, like, to pay attention to how their body feels with food. I actually tell all my clients, like, let me, like, if something doesn't feel right, please, like, pay attention to it, write it down, like, take note. And I also knew my weight. Like, I was, prepping for months, and my weight was just, like, fighting back like crazy. And as soon as I started switching some of my foods out, all of a sudden, like, inflammation went down, and my weight dropped. So there's a lot of symptoms and indicators. It's just good to know your body. So, yeah, that was, like, my experience. And Amy, was there any other things that you wanted to add about high fat or other types of diets that people are utilizing now?
Yeah, and just to clarify, I will put it in the show notes as far as, like, the ratios. But, you know, the important thing to remember here is we're not just, like, putting this information out there to just start taking notes and being like, okay, well, I need to be in this ratio or whatever it may be. I mean, yes, we're both physique athletes. And so if you notice, you know, as part of the whole idea behind this is that, you know, protein's high. Some takeaways are that, you know, lean proteins are going to be great choices for a bodybuilder, because they're going to keep you, our proteins are high so that we're maintaining that satiety, but we're also encouraging muscle growth through protein synthesis. We're utilizing carbs, and the nutrient timing is a very key piece. So, you know, we center those around our training. And then we're choosing very complex type of carbohydrates for the most part. So that foods are high in fiber and we're feeling satiety. But the important takeaway here is that this is something that is unique to you. So if you're listening, you know, don't just take this podcast as, you know, this is what you need to do. If you get anything from this whole talk is that, you know, each of us is completely different. Everybody has their own unique system. And that is what at Glam Girl Bikini, we try to achieve with each of our clients and our athletes. is that unicorn prep. And so addressing those needs and looking at the person's lifestyle, because, you know, for some people, keto, it can fit their lifestyle. And maybe those are some foods that they enjoy and they want to do it. I know that, you know, if there's a person that, you know, maybe they have to do a lot of research in a lab and they can't get away to eat like every 2 to 3 hours, like, you know, a physique athlete, and they, you know, that might work well for them because they can go longer, for longer durations without eating. So you kind of have to look at the whole picture, look at the individual, what works well with their body. And I highly encourage you to seek the guidance of a coach so that you too can find your unicorn prep. And, you know, a lot of it, as a coach and as an athlete, you know, it's, some of it's going to be trial and error. You know your body the best. And so it's important to work with a professional that has the knowledge of these different tools in the toolbox to get you there. So remember, if you can sustain it, then that's going to be what's going to set you up for the most success. So be sure that it's something that you enjoy too. When I think back to the keto, you know, I was having to pour like olive oil and, you know, eating the chicken thighs and things like that. They just weren't things that I really liked. And so I think that's important as well. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I just love that point of like, everybody's an individual. I just feel like so many times it's preached at that people should like, this is the diet that will make you lose weight. And this is what, you know, like you see someone that's really successful utilizing a certain method and you try it and it doesn't work for you. And all of a sudden, like, I know for me, I'll start thinking, oh, well, like my body, like genetically is just not, you know, I can't get that lean or I can't, you know, compete with that, or my body just responds. Like, embrace your differences, because there's a method and there's a way that works great for you. It's just a matter of being patient and finding out like what it is that's working and what it is that's not. So Amy, I think you just nailed it with that last comment. So I just, yeah, guys, don't give up.
Awesome. Well, we are hopeful that this helped you with kind of just seeing what the differences are out there when it comes to macronutrient ratios. You know, when people say that they do macros, I mean, everybody does macros. So you need to make sure that your protein, your fat, and your carbohydrates are on point. And then also pay close attention to that fiber number as well. So really, that's like the fourth hidden one. That's my last piece on that. So find the ratios that are right for you, work with a coach, and at the end of the day, you know, as long as you're eating for your goals, then you are going to get there. All right, y'all, have a great one. This is your co-host, Amy Anger, founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini. And with me, I have
Chris Nicole, IFBB Bikini Pro and Glam Girl Bikini Coach. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.